Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Should we do?
Okay.
Yes, devotees, so today we will read. We will continue. The ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4. Ambarish Maharaj offended by Devasa Muni. Today we will read verse 64. Naham atmanam asha se madbhaktai sadubhya vina shriyam chat yantikim brahman yesham gatir aham para. Oh, Hare Krishna. Merci beaucoup. Okay, so translation. O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. We should bear in mind, this is the Supreme Lord speaking. Yes. Okay, so let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase His transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees, who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He is unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. Thus, He descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto Him because, unlimited as He is, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. I hope you caught that. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, He does not feel transcendental bliss without His devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Everyone understood that? Yes? Okay. Right, let me read this again. Nahamat Madhamasha say, Mad Bhaktai Sadhubiya Vida, Shriyam Chatyantikim Brahman, Yesham Gatya Raham Para, O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Vijayane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Vastitya Desha Tane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yes, we're continuing here the story of Maharaj Ambarish being offended by Devasa Muni and what happened as a result of that. Let us just catch up slightly with the story, because we kept you in suspense yesterday. Yes, that. Well, I won't tell the story again, but Maharaj Ambarish was, you could say, attacked by Devasa Muni, who sent a demoniac entity to kill him. But the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra, intervened and killed the demon before the demon could kill or could even approach Maharaj Ambarish. But then the chakra, which is the weapon or one of the main weapons of the Supreme Lord, it turned on Devasa Muni himself. This Devasa Muni, you might have even heard about him before becoming involved in Krishna consciousness. He is a known personality in the Vedic scriptures. He's mentioned here and there, like a little like Narada Muni. He's mentioned also in so many places, more than Devasa Muni. And sometimes you see these sort of pre-Bollywood movies, you know, the old religious movies, kind of. Anyway, you see them, they're sort of nice. And in comes Narada Muni with his veena, and usually he's a bit sort of, you know, what would you say? He's kind of a bit silly, like a slightly amusing character. Although actually he's a great saintly person. And he usually comes in strumming his veena and chanting Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Anyway, so that's, you know, the pre-Bollywood take on Narada Muni. It's not really proper. But Devasa Muni is another one of these Vedic personalities. And although he is not as well known generally as Narad, but he's known. He's a known personality. But the thing about Devasa Muni is, even though he is Vedic, he is a Brahmin, he is a scholar, he is actually a mystic, mystic yogi, he has powers, but he is not a devotee. He knows about these things. He knows. He has heard of Krishna so much. Vishnu, Narayan, Ram. He's heard about all these things. Plenty. But he is not actually a devotee. Yeah? He's not a devotee. He is, you know, a little bit, maybe, sometimes, on a good day, when the wind is blowing in the right direction, he is a bit of a devotee, to some degree. When the wind changes direction, you know, it changes his mind. Because if he was a devotee, he would not have attacked Maharaj Ambarish. Of course, just because Maharaj Ambarish took something, just it was water, before he ate, is very extreme, isn't it? Isn't it just so extreme? So devotees, any devotee who's really a devotee, so to speak, or the more one becomes a devotee, then the less one is going to react in such ways if it should happen that one becomes offended, mistreated, or, you know, what may seem like that. So Devasa Muni, sometimes he likes Krishna, sometimes he doesn't really care. So he's not really a devotee, like a real devotee. As a result, his mind, his senses, his emotions sometimes overwhelm him. Sometimes it may happen with us even, because even though we are devotees, but we're sort of, you know, aspiring devotees. We're not so qualified as devotees. But in his case, it becomes very, like, vividly obvious. Sometimes he loses it. He just goes wild. When someone does something which is not, you know, is sort of against him. This is one of these cases. So, but Maharaj Ambarish, he is a devotee. Actually, he's a very wonderful devotee. It's a little technical. You know, he's a very wonderful devotee. But technically speaking, he is not exactly a perfect devotee. Or if we take him to be a perfect devotee, he is in the earlier stages of perfection. Not absolutely complete in perfection. The description is that He is on the level of Bhava. Are you familiar with these different levels of advancement? First there's Shraddha, which means just a little faith, nothing more than a little faith. Shraddha then Sadhu Sangha is the next stage. On the basis of that little faith, then you associate with devotees. Then after associating with the devotees, being influenced by their association, then the next stage is bhajana kriya, that you actually take up the activities of bhajan or devotional service. Means you start practicing. Then the fourth stage is anatha nivritti. Now you're actually practicing on a regular basis. Now you start, well, Krishna starts to show you what's wrong with you. We've been in this world many lifetimes. We have many what are called anathas, undesirable, unwanted things, like psychological, emotional things, habits, for example, built up in our hearts. And before we become devotees, generally, we are not aware of many of these. Maybe some of the big ones we might be aware of. But the more subtle ones, generally people are not aware at all. But on the level of anatha nivritti, when you are now already practicing, applying yourself, trying to progress in devotional service, Krishna, being very kind, he shows you, look at this, whoa, is that me? Yes, it is you, just you didn't know what you were so clearly. Right, so then on that level, fourth level, one is trying to deal with those things and overcome them. And really make progress. And when one has done that reasonably successfully, one comes to the fifth stage, which is called nishtha, steadiness. Now those unwanted, undesirable contaminations are largely removed. Now it's much easier to focus, much easier, because internally you're much more peaceful, much more stable. Those different habits and conceptions which would sort of agitate you previously, generally they are, if not gone completely, but largely subdued or removed, so one can become steady and practice nicely without your mind harassing you and your senses suddenly becoming attracted to something, and you know, your attention becomes distracted because of these things. So that's nishtha or steadiness. Fifth stage, it's the middle stage actually, because there are nine. And when one comes to that stage, then one can progress much more quickly, because the obstacles, so many of the obstacles are gone or reduced greatly. Then the sixth stage is called ruchi. Ruchi means taste. Now that you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, absorbed in Krishna consciousness, without becoming distracted so much, now you really relish the nectar of Krishna consciousness on a regular basis, not just occasionally when things are going nicely, when there's a big kirtan, then, oh, it's so nice. But at some other time, when you have to chant your japa, and it may be late in the day, and you've still got 6 rounds to do, and you're thinking, oh no. At times like that, and different times, you don't experience that rich, wonderful taste. How nice is Krishna consciousness? So on the level of ruchi, that taste is there. If not always, a lot of the time, because of how fixed one is. And then the seventh stage is called asakti. Asakti means attachment. Because of having that taste, because of being so absorbed in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, and understanding that it's all because of Krishna, because of my connection with Krishna, everything is so nice, one becomes very attached, like unbreakably attached to Krishna. Up till that stage, that was number 7, up to that stage, the sort of general orientation of the devotee, or level, sort of in a broader sense, like super level, it's called sadhana bhakti, the practice, you're practicing. But at the end of a sakti, you come to the 8th stage, which is bhava, which is no longer on the level of practice. It is part of perfection. But it's the beginning of perfection. And all the different symptoms and signs and characteristics of perfection are not always there. Sometimes there, but not always. When they are always there, then that is the final level of prema, pure love of God, which is the perfection of life and which is complete. So we were talking about Maharaj Amrish. The description is, he is on the level of bhava. Why? How could we say that? How could that be said? Because when that demon came to attack him, he focused his mind on the Lord. He went into a prayerful state, closed his eyes, prayed to the Lord for mercy, and tears of ecstasy started coming from his eyes. His body started shivering in ecstasy. When a devotee is on the level of prema, complete perfection, symptoms like these and others are always there. Always. Not just sometimes. Anyway, that's a little technical stuff. So now, because Maharaj Amrish is such a great devotee, even though he may not be absolutely, completely perfect in the earlier stages of perfection, still he is very dear to the Lord. And now this Devasamuni has offended him extremely badly. I don't suppose any of you devotees have ever tried to kill someone, have you? That's a joke. But in some cases it's not a joke. But you can you imagine, just think about it, if you tried to kill someone because you thought, you know, they're very bad, but then you found out that you were wrong. You shouldn't have. There was no need to try and kill them. Or it was the wrong person or something. What do you do then? Do you say, oh, sorry. Excuse me, what? Not a problem. Oh, okay. So he tried to kill the devotee, Maharaj Abhiraj. The Lord was angry, and the Lord wanted to punish him. Sometimes the Lord punishes. You know, particularly in Christianity, and maybe other traditions, but particularly in Christianity, there is this idea, you should fear God. Watch out. Just you watch out, because he may get you. And when he gets you, then, you know, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, that would not be enough. When he gets you, yeah, you could be pulverized, squished into the floor. So, but sometimes, and it's not that, so it is not that the Lord is regularly punishing or wants to punish, but sometimes he punishes, particularly if one, not just if you do something wrong, but if you do something offensive, then the Lord feels anger. Anger. You know, we could, the question is raised sometimes, from where do we get the different tendencies, emotional, psychological tendencies, which we have? Sometimes we love, sometimes we hate. Sometimes we're friendly, sometimes we're not friendly. And so on and so forth. Where do these come from? Is it just part of the human condition? No. We get these because we are part and parcel of Krishna, and he has them. And when you're part of something, you share, you know, the nature of whatever you are part of. Of course. You know, so you are all part of Mauritius. You're Mauritius. When something happens to Mauritius, it happens to you. You know, for example, the Mozambique, or shall we say, Seychelles, might invade Mauritius. Did you ever think of that? Not very likely, but let's just say hypothetically. Seychelles might invade Mauritius and take over. Then they take over you, because you're part of Mauritius. And you cannot say that, well, you know, look, you took over everything else, but I don't want you to take over me, so sorry. When you're part of something, you share the nature of that which you're part of. So we are persons because we're part of Krishna. Krishna is a person. We share that. We love because Krishna loves. We act because Krishna acts. We relate because Krishna relates. We serve, we work because Krishna does these things. We talk because he talks. So, and we get angry because he also gets angry. You know, something cannot come from nothing. If you understand the core, well, if you understand the effect of something, something which has been caused by something else, if you understand the effect, the result, then you also, at least to some degree, understand the cause. Do you follow? Do you follow that? Because the effect is simply a reflection of the nature of the cause. So the characteristics which are present in the effect must necessarily be in the cause. So we are people because our cause, Krishna is Sarvakarana Karna, he's the cause of all causes. We are people because he's a person. We have these different tendencies and characteristics because he has them. He may also have more than what we have, but he definitely doesn't have less, because he is the cause. Yeah. So we sometimes we get angry. We may get angry for the wrong reasons also, because we are conditioned souls. But a person who is a pure devotee, like Maharaj Ambarish, he's in the beginning stages of perfection, still means he's perfect. Yeah. So, such a person will only get angry, will never get angry at least, if we insult them, that you know. I was looking on the internet yesterday for a Creole dictionary, and I found one. And learn to speak Creole book, and I found one. And while I was looking, you know what I found? At least a reference in Google I found. Creole, Mauritian Creole, swear words. Anyway, Hare Krishna. You know, the internet is dangerous. I didn't look at it, but so someone may curse you. You are a something, something, something. Fill in the blanks. And if you're in material consciousness, then almost inevitably you'll become angry. How can you say that about me? You mustn't say that about me, because I am not like that. I'm a good guy. Everyone thinks they're a good guy. Even Al Capone, have you ever heard of Al Capone? One of the great American gangsters. When he was locked up, he said, I never wanted to hurt anyone, although he was responsible for many people being killed. Anyway, everyone's a good guy in their minds. So we have that tendency to become angry. When a devotee is very advanced, like Maharaj Ambarish, they will never get angry about something to do with themselves. If some other devotee is offended, or if the Lord is offended, they may become angry. Yes. And Krishna, and why do they still have that tendency, even though they are pure? Because generally you would think that anger is impure. But there is such a thing as purified anger. And the Lord, who is ultimate pure, he also has anger. And when does that anger appear? Times like this, when his devotee is offended. In this case, not just offended, but attacked very viciously. It's just terrible, actually. So the Lord became angry. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra started chasing the Rasamuni. You know, when Maharaj Ambarish, when the demon was coming at him to kill him, he did not run, head for the hills. No. He just stood there and took shelter of the Lord. See the difference. Now, Devasamuni, his life is in danger. He runs. Help! Save me! See the difference in nature. So anyway, basically, he ran here and there and he approached different people with this chakra following him. And he appealed to these different people that, you know, look, see, this thing's after me. Help me. But no one could help him. Finally he approached Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. That, you know, you are the creator. You can stop this. And Lord Brahma said, sorry, I can't. I can't. Nothing I can do. It's beyond me. Try Lord Shiva. So he went to Lord Shiva. Interesting little technical point. I don't want to bewilder you with technicalities. Devasamuni is a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. He is like a little part of Lord Shiva. Certain particular aspect of the nature of Lord Shiva. So he approached Lord Shiva and asked for help. And Lord Shiva said, sorry, I can't help you. This is the weapon of Narayan. You should approach him, it's his weapon. He can protect you, I can't. But the problem then was that Lord Narayan lives in the spiritual world, not in the material world. And you cannot enter the spiritual world unless you're a devotee, or even a pure devotee, at the least a devotee, serious devotee. You can't enter the spiritual world. You can't just buy a ticket and go to Goloka Vrindavan. What would you say? How to say it? Anyway, by the mercy of Air Mauritius. What do you say? Pull misery call? What do you say first? Part love. By the mercy. Just misery call. No by.
Pa.
Oh, okay. Pum is really cool. Air mornings. Sorry. So, but Lord Shiva, it's interesting. Lord Shiva is guarding the entrance to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world. He's guarding. And Devasamuni said, listen, you know me. I'm part of you. You gotta help me. It's like helping yourself. Let me just go in temporarily and see Narayan. So he did. Lord Shiva let Devasamuni into Vaikuntha. That's where this is all happening right now. This is happening in Vaikuntha, in the kingdom of God. A non-devotee, or a sort of, you know, well, he's definitely not a devotee. At best, he's a little bit something favorable, but he's not a real devotee. But he was allowed in by the mercy of Lord Shiva, just temporarily. Couldn't stay. Yeah. So then he approached Lord Narayan, and this is where we are right now. He's speaking to Lord Narayan, and he's appealed to him. Help me! Save me! You are merciful to those who are in distress, and I am in distress. You must be merciful to me. Reminding the Lord what he should do and what he shouldn't do. And then the Lord, so now the Lord is speaking to him. And what the Lord, basically what he's going to say, it's sort of leading up to, that you have offended my devotee. So therefore I have become angry. I have sent my chakra to kill you. But even I cannot, will not, and cannot withdraw the chakra until Maharaj Ambarish has forgiven you. It's not possible. It is in his hands now. Your fate is in his hands. There's an interesting little aside from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, in the purport, I think, to this verse or the verse before. He says that Devasamuni is appealing to Lord Narayan like this. You know, you're very merciful to the suffering. You're very kind. And look at me, I'm suffering. So you must be merciful to me. And just to understand why the Lord feels he cannot withdraw the chakra. Yeah. So Devasamuni appeals to the Lord, you're very merciful. And he says, you have a very merciful heart. So with your merciful heart, please be kind and save me from your weapon. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord replies that you're right. I do have a very merciful heart. I have a very merciful heart. But at this stage, there's a very serious problem with that. Because I have given my heart to the devotees. Yeah. So I don't have a heart any longer. Yeah, so I don't have a heart any longer. But my devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, he has my heart. If you want mercy from my heart, you have to approach Maharaj Ambarish. So the Lord also, yeah. So anyway, you know, it works out in the end. But in the course of it all, the Lord reveals some extremely important, and you could say, very personal things about himself. Yeah. This is also one that in this verse, that without saintly persons, without the devotees, without the saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, means the pure devotees, then I don't want to enjoy the kingdom of God. I don't want to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my supreme opulence without the devotees. Yeah. So this is the Lord revealing something very personal about himself. You know, when people, if someone actually comes to you and starts telling you how they love you or how they love some other person and starts going into all these sides of their life, this is very personal. This is not just to be sort of broadcast. It's very personal and intimate. And the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has that side also. That's why we have that side, because he has that side. So the Lord is saying that, you know, he's living in Vaikuntha, Narayana. Vaikuntha is the kingdom of God. Everything is eternal. Everything is full of bliss. Everything is composed of bliss. The rocks, even the rocks, are made of condensed ecstasy. And the Lord is the Lord of that place. But he's saying here that without the devotees, I'm not interested in it. I don't want it without the devotees. So we should understand, try at least to get the basic idea that the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is extremely deep. Extremely deep. And the Lord, because the Lord is a person and not just some big thing, but he's actually a person. Even though he's a very big person, he's like a super person, but still, he's a person, and he feels as we feel. So, just like in the Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani, says that, what is it? Govinda Vira Hena Me, how does that one start? Not Vaslishva though. When I'm separated from you, then, what is it? Yugayitam. Yugayitam Nimeshena Chatrisha Pravishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Saranam Govinda Vira Hena Me. Govinda Vira Hena Me. When I'm in separation from Govinda, from Krishna, then yugaitam nimeshena. Then a yuga, or long time, seems like a fraction of a second. Nimesh means 1/16th of a second. And shunyaitam, shunya. I think you all know enough Hindi to understand shunya. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam. The whole world seems zero. It seems empty. So, and Prabhupada commenting on that, Prabhupada makes the point, is the world empty? No, the world is definitely not empty at all. But in that mood of separation, the world may seem, it seems, like it's empty because we've lost Krishna. Krishna feels the same way. When he loses his devotees, he feels the loss. Oh, Hare Krishna. I'll just conclude that when, if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they haven't translated it into Creole yet. but when you ever read it, you'll see there that Well, there are two parts. In the second part, the hero, or the main person, is Gopakuma, cowherd boy. Gopakuma goes back to Godhead, step by step. It takes some time. And on the way, he stops at different places. But eventually, he arrives in Goloka Vrindavan. So, but at one point, he arrives in Vaikuntha, and he meets Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. And Lord Narayan tells him, Lord Narayan says, you know, I've been waiting for you. Yeah. Many lifetimes, many of your lifetimes, I've been watching you. And I've been thinking, will he come back to me in this life? But then you didn't. Then you went into your next life. Then I thought, will he come back to me in this life? But you didn't. And then the next life. And I thought, will he come back to me in this life? And finally you've come back. And he says that I was feeling so strongly about it that I felt I'll just take you back. But you weren't ready. And he said, I could have just taken you back, but you weren't ready. It would have been against the principles of religion to just take you back when you're not ready. So I didn't do it. But I wanted to. And he says, every life I was thinking, maybe in this lifetime, and next life, maybe in this lifetime, Lord Narayan says, I was dancing like a fool. So this is a very important pastime, very important pastime of the Lord. It points out that we shouldn't offend devotees. It really points that out. And it also points out that the Lord, how the Lord is a person, and how the Lord feels the attitudes of the Lord. And let me just actually close by saying, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a nice description. Narada Muni arrives in Vaikuntha. And what does he find? Vaikuntha is deserted. There's no one there. Not that everyone fell down, but there's just nobody there except one old man. And he asks the old man, where's Lord Narayan? Where's Lakshmi? Where's everyone? And the old man said, they've all gone to Navadweep. Because the Lord has started his Sankirtan movement there. And it's so attractive, they've all gone. They left Vaikuntha just to be in the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that what does the Lord want? He wants the number of devotees increased, because it increases his pleasure further. So this movement, Krishna consciousness movement, is for that, to increase the number of devotees. Therefore, we all devotees, and you all devotees, and we must spread Krishna consciousness and help other people to become devotees through the Sankirtan movement. Is that okay? To Kaurav? Well, you're not opposed. We don't want to just be an insular little club, but we want to give. And when we give, then the Lord recognizes us more. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now, I think it's a bit late. Anyone have a comment or a question? Bien important.